Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers. And today's conversation is with Dick Burke, Associate Deputy Chief Information Officer for IT Reform, and Mark McCloy, Director, Office of Information Technology Reform, in the Office of the Chief Information Officer at HUD. One of the many challenges facing organizations is recruiting and retaining employees, especially in the technology sector. How do you find this at HUD?
Yes, it is a serious problem, to restate it. We lost a large cadre of our technology folks several years ago as HUD moved from approximately 17,300 down to 9,300. Similarly, at that same time, we went, as I mentioned earlier, you know, you go from 3,400 loans per day to 5,400 loans per day. In the earlier time, we were not making any grants for homeless grants. We now make close to 5,500 grants a year. So the work has gone up exponentially while the staff has been cut in half. And IT has been, if you really have IT supporting the business, that means IT grows, the number of systems, the size, the complexity of them enormously, and the need to move quicker. And at the same time, you don't have the people around. So we've relied heavily on contractors. We've made certain issues clear to the contractors who do come on board with us, and that is that we are in a partnership role. We will try as best as we can to define precisely what it is that we want, the deliverable out of every task and contract, and hold contractors responsible. We ask them to take a little bit broader view of the role. We can't write into every contract exactly what we, this partnership role, although we try to articulate it. But as one of the examples I used earlier, when you think about, well, what is going to be the buy-in to this particular piece of technology that I'm preparing and developing? How is that organization going to adapt accordingly? I expect a contractor to think through that. I expect a contractor to make suggestions to me with regard to, all right, now would be an appropriate time now to begin to approach these levels at HUD. We see that they are responding or have the potential to respond or need to buy into the technology or buy into the solution right now. And so that's what we do.
There's a lot of talk about partnership, and even you kind of talked about it broadly when you said think broadly. What does partnership mean to you?
Well, to understand HUD in its broader context, not just the 9,300 people in 88 field offices, to understand our business and our businesses working with these business partners. And so when a contractor comes in, I expect them to understand that concept. It is a special relationship. And I don't know if it is unique in the federal government, but certainly we have working with state and local government folks, we offer them maximum feasible participation in deciding where those dollars go and how HUD business is developed and worked. That is a critical piece to the way we work, understanding that as a partner, being part of being a business partner. I think there are other aspects to it as well. We will have, I suppose maybe it's similar to other areas of the government where you really are sitting side by side at the table together and you ask them to participate, be critical. You know, this is not just, you know, a one-sided relationship. I expect this is a two-way conversation. I will be critical of them, but I expect them to also come back to us and sort of say, we don't see it that way at all. Here's the way we see it, you know, type of thing. That's an honest relationship. That's an honest partnering relationship. And we look for it. I might add, I think that's exactly what we've gotten from PwC and other contractors around.
Are you concerned as the skills of the technologists at HUD change from perhaps people who were hands-on doing all the work before to now the people who monitor contractors?
Yeah, our skill base has changed.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly, you know, I grew up in an environment where I was a programmer, and now I'm having to give those instructions to a contractor. And there's It's difficult because there's a ton of rules and regulations and codes that have to be followed, and the penalty for not following some of those can be career-ending. And it's important that I guess this partnership is that you work with a team, but everybody understands the same general guidelines and same general rules that you have to play by, and then you try to make it work the best. I mean, I always try to explain it like the 4x100 relay. When you pass that baton, the Olympic team's done it 1,000 times, and when you're passing information, data, requirements, hopefully you're passing it friendly to the contractor. The contractors are you're working in a friendly environment with you, and that it's kind of a team effort that, you know, and every once in a while, you know, I always like to say, you know, when I've screwed up something, my team knows what to say. They say, what Mark really meant to say was, and that's the indication, Mark, you just blew it. Let's try something else. And it has to work that way. They can't be afraid to say if something is really off the wall or something is really good. And they don't want to be in a position when something's really good to let it go by the board. And you don't want to have somebody in a meeting who's a dynamic superstar but out of his field for that day dominate a meeting. So it's interesting.
Getting back to that issue about the partnership, there are times when a contractor needs to come in and say, look, for the dollars that you're asking for and for what you're looking for, you're not going to get there, you know, given our best experience. Now, that is very tough for a contractor, particularly because they're going to say, well, the likelihood here is they may terminate the contract and I'll be out. And I just spent a lot of money bidding on this thing. So I fully understand the pressures on both sides. There is another day. This is a relationship that is being built between a contractor and HUD, and we want to maintain that, and I think the contractor does too. The worst thing that can happen is for the contract to go forward, HUD not to be satisfied, or the government entity not to be satisfied, and the thing falls on its face, and you go back to the contractor. Contractor says, well, this is what you asked me for. You've articulated, you know, and you sort of say, well, okay, fine. We'll deal with someone else from now on. Thank you.
What kind of advice would you give to a young person who's interested in a career in public service?
Oh, come in. It's very interesting. Everybody's talking about the dearth of folks who want to come into the federal government. I don't believe that's true at all. We announced 700 positions, I think, back in the fall or back last year, and we had 27,000 applications. I mean, you know, it was just phenomenal. So I think people do want to come into public service. It's a challenge. Where else would you find this kind of breadth of moving from, all of the different fields that are represented, even just at one agency like HUD? I've found it fascinating over the years as I've moved around within HUD from policy development and research to the program areas into IT, into Office of Administration, and the ability to move around and move up and have increasingly challenging positions, I think, is very appealing.
Let me sum it up maybe a different way. Federal employees led the mission to put a man on the moon. And federal employees put thousands of people in homes, along with our partners in government and in housing authorities, have put thousands and thousands of people in homes. What an incredible challenge to make the planet a tad bit better.
What kind of skills would you recommend a young person had, or what were you looking for in those 27,000 applications?
Well, the breadth of capabilities. It's hard to be specific about that. I don't think it's any different from in the private sector. You're looking for some deep skill, some skill that the person feels associated with and comfortable with, whether that be budgeting or finance or IT in a particular area, but some grounding. And then the ability to remain flexible and the willingness to continue to learn. Because when I I hate to hear this, but when I came into the federal service, you know, the thought that I would be in IT later on was the most foreign thing in the world. And so the ability to willingness to learn and the ability to then stay current. So those are some qualities. I think you have to be creative. That's a funny word to use. A lot of people don't think about that in the federal government, but I think you have to be creative, particularly like in the scenario I painted beforehand, where you have twice the work and one half the people, and you still need to make things work and work better than they had earlier. That you have to be creative to be able to do that.
And they would be working with dynamic personality people like Dick and myself, and that is a real plus.
Oh, my gosh. We just lost thousands of people who potentially would come to HUD, Mark. Watch out.
Well, that's probably a good point to end because I'm afraid we're out of time. Dick and Mark, I want to thank you very much for our conversation today. It's been fascinating.
Thank you, Paul, very much.
Thank you. Have a good day, and go Redskins.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dick Burke and Mark McCloy of HUD. To learn more about our programs and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness, visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. And at the site, you can also get a copy of today's transcript of this interesting and insightful conversation. See you next week.